Christ, who loves mankind with pure light of thy divine knowledge, and open the eyes of our mind to the understanding of thy gospel teaching, that implant also in us the fear of thy blessed commandments, that granting down all carnal desires, we may enter upon a spiritual manner of living, both thinking and doing such things as are well pleasing to thee. For thou art the illumination of our souls and bodies, O Christ our God, and unto thee do we send up glory. Together with thy Father, who is without beginning, and thy all-holy, good and life-giving Spirit, now and ever, and unto ages of ages. Praise God, bless it, and bless this into the Holy Gospel. Peace be unto all. The reading is from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Let us attend. At that time, Jesus sailed to the country of the Gadarenes, which is opposite Galilee. And when he stepped out on the land, there met him a certain man from the city who had demons for a long time. And he wore no clothes, nor did he live in a house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out, fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for it had often seized him, and he was kept under guard, bound with chains and shackles, and he broke the bonds and was driven by the demon into the wilderness. Jesus asked him, saying, "What is your name?" And he said, "Legion," because many demons had entered him. And they begged him that he would not command them to go out into the abyss. Now a herd of many swine was feeding there on the mountain, so they begged him that he would permit them to enter them, and he permitted them. Then the demons went out of the man and entered the swine, and the herd ran violently down the steep place into the lake and drowned. And those who fed them saw what had happened. They fled and told it in the city and in the country. Then they went out to see what had happened and came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had departed sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. They also who had seen it told them by what means he who had been demon-possessed was healed. Then the whole multitude of the surrounding region of the Gadarenes asked him to depart from them, for they were seized with great fear. And he got into the boat and returned. Now the man from whom the demons had departed begged him that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your own house and tell what great things God has done for you." And he went his way and proclaimed throughout the whole city what great things Jesus had done for him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. So we've seen that God has a sense of humor. In our adult ed classes on Sunday mornings, we're talking about the what and the who. That God is not a what, God is a who. We are not what's, we are who's. And you cannot talk about the who. Every time you try to say who somebody is, you end up only saying what they are. And so finally, the ultimate word that we can say of God is no word. And that's the direction my voice is going. You ready? We'll see how it goes this morning. We'll see if we can give a sermon without the video. don't know if the video is working or not. I think the audio is working. Perhaps we would catch the full impact of this morning's gospel if we understood that the unclean spirits of the demons are active in our world today, as they always have been, in the passions that assail us and that enslave us when we give in to them. These passions include gluttony, lust, greed, anger, envy, vanity, pride, sloth, or spiritual laziness. I think it fair to say that these all swim in an undercurrent of ultimate meaninglessness, the state of the mind that has rejected God. When our worldly comforts and diversions are taken from us, and the passions no longer can divert us or please us, the undercurrent of meaninglessness seizes us in the gut. It envelops us, and we feel ourselves sinking into despair and hopelessness, like the demoniac this morning living in the darkness of the tombs. Consider the demoniac's wild behavior caused by the many demons or passions dwelling in him. Is it not a fair description of our soul when we are overpowered and tossed about by even one passion, let alone many passions, so that we cannot rest inside? Why does quietude frighten us so much? What is it about stillness that we must fill it with constant noise and activity? Is it because we draw near an emptiness of the tomb, the fear of our death, and the emptiness of our death that lies underneath everything? And now consider the demoniac's behavior once the Lord had cleansed him. He was no more living frenetically in the tombs. The tombs were empty of him, for he was now found sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. He was quiet. He was at rest. He was at peace. It's clear that the emptiness of his soul was now filled with joy. And the joy, we can say, was the radiance of his love for the Savior. St. Luke says that a great fear lay hold of the townspeople at the scene. So also did a great fear lay hold the myrrh-bearers at the tomb of the risen Lord. From this it is clear that this cleansing of the Gerasene demoniac has to do with the Lord's death and resurrection. We can say, therefore, that whereas before the demoniac's soul was convulsed with the fear of death, now it was filled with the peace and joy of the Lord's holy Pascha. He was no longer dark inside, he was radiant. He was no longer dead inside, he was alive. It was no longer he who lived, but Christ who was living in him. Let's ponder how this came to be. We see a tomb in the foreground of this morning's gospel. But again, from the clear paschal indications in St. Luke's description of the scene, there is another tomb hidden in the background. It is the Lord's tomb. The Lord Jesus, who came down into the region of the Gerasenes and its tombs, as into the region and shadow of death, is the true light coming into the world. Coming to the tombs of the Gerasenes, he comes into the region and shadow of death. And we begin to see more fully All that is contained in St. John's proclamation, when St. John says, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness could not comprehend it." It's not just that the darkness could not hold him. It's not just that that he resisted the darkness so that it could do nothing to him. It's that he overpowered the darkness. He was active, he cleansed, and he purged the darkness of all the unclean spirits. So let's talk to our kids. I'll talk to the parents and I'll give you what you can say to your kids when they're in their bed in the dark at night. Children, I don't know, maybe we should talk to the adults too. Why do you let your mind dwell in the imagination of ghosts and goblins? Why would you not take your mind in the dark of your bedroom at night back to Pascha night? That's when you came with all of us into the darkened church. The church was dark, was pitch black. We have just a few candles going, just enough where you can see your way. We came to the church at 11:30 p.m. to begin the nocturne service, and you had to strain your eyes. You have to strain your eyes to make sure you don't bump into somebody. It's pitch black. Not pitch, but it's dark. I'll bet it's darker than it is in your bedroom at night. But the darkness, remember, is empty of all ghosts. There's no ghosts in that darkness. No boogie monsters to be afraid of. And if at church you have eaten and drunk the resurrection and the life of Christ as your food and drink, why wouldn't your darkened bedroom be the very same as the church on Pascha night or any night? Christ is there. More than that, Christ is in you. No demon's going to hang around where Christ is. You can see it in this morning's gospel. The darkness of your bedroom, like the darkness of the church, is filled with what? Fear? There's no fear. It's joy. In the darkness of the church on Pascha night, what you feel is joy and excitement in the anticipation of the light of Christ's holy resurrection that is about to burst into flame. We hold unlit candles in our hand, and at midnight, those candles are lit from the candle burning on the holy altar. It happens here at St. Herman's, just as it happens at the Lord's tomb in Jerusalem on Great and Holy Saturday, when all the candles of the thousands of faithful that are gathered there around the tomb of the Lord suddenly burst into flame from the flame that comes out of the holy tomb of our Lord God and Savior. And it is a bluish flame, so we can see from the videos. And it burns, but it does not consume. You can put it through your hair, but the hair doesn't burn. You can put it on your hands. And candles are spontaneously lit, bursting into flame there by the holy fire, we call it, there in Jerusalem at the Lord's tomb. It's the same thing here. It's the same Holy Spirit that is here. It's the same Lord Jesus Christ that is here. The temple that was dark and still, a darkness filled with peace and joy. Think back to it. Remember, the temple begins to glow with a soft, warm light from the flames of our many candles. The temple glows with a warm, sacred beauty that we can feel in our soul. This beauty is in the world, but it is not of the world. But is this not the same glow that we experience mystically, invisibly, at our baptism, or at a chrismation this morning, whose liturgical, at the baptism, whose liturgical dance captures us with a sacred beauty that lifts our soul and anoints her with a joy and a peace that we can feel within. It's not just the person who's being baptized or chrismated. It's all of us who are participating in that service. We can feel the joy of the Holy Spirit descending upon us and raising us up into the life of His holy resurrection. The tomb of the Lord that stands hidden behind the tombs of the Gerasene demoniac this morning is the same tomb into which you were immersed and from which you were raised into the light of Christ in His holy resurrection. Dripping wet with the living waters of the Holy Spirit, you came out of that font, and you were clothed as a child of God in a robe of light. You put on Christ. You were enveloped in the true light that doesn't just resist the darkness. It overpowers the darkness. It illumines the darkness. It chases every unclean spirit. It doesn't have to chase them, actually. They just flee. They don't want nothing to do with the Lord. And if He's in you, they don't want nothing to do with you. And now the darkness for you is a soft stillness, saturated with the Holy Spirit. In your union with Christ, which happened at your baptism, the fear of death that enslaved us was replaced with a great fear of Christ's life-creating death. This is the fear that we should feel in the darkness of our bedroom at night. But this fear raises the soul to the light. This fear raises her to Christ. For this fear announces the beginning of our conception as children of God and the transfiguration of our tomb into the font of our resurrection. The Lord, the true light, has come into the world as He stepped onto the shores of the Gerasenes in this morning's gospel. In His Holy Spirit, the light the darkness cannot overcome is everywhere present. It fills all things, even as the rays of the sun illumine the whole earth. And every temple of the Lord's holy church, including St. Hermann's, is mystically, that means really, the tomb of His holy Pascha that stands hidden beneath the tomb of every one of us. Here in the temple of St. Hermann's, we are in the Lord's tomb. We are in the font of His resurrection, for we are in the mystery of His death. We are in the power of His cross, by which He destroyed death and opened the gates and took captive all of us who are held captive by death. And those of us whom He took captive, what did He do with us? He bathed us in the warm brilliance of His holy resurrection. That's what it is to be a slave of Christ. Dear faithful, if we would be held captive by the peace and joy of Christ's life-giving holy Pascha, and so be delivered from our enslavement to the life-destroying passions, the venom of the unclean spirits, we need to do as did the demoniac this morning. We draw near the Savior, both with our soul and with our body. And please note that the demons did not want to draw near to the Lord. And yet the demoniac was able to draw near to them, to Him. In his heart, the demoniac was stronger than the demons. In our soul, we are stronger than the demons. You want to become to Christ, nothing can stop you. You desire to draw near to Christ, nothing can stop you. And that's all we need to do. Come to His holy temple, the church, the garden of his tomb. This is where the Lord's strength is made perfect in our weakness. This is where we hear the word of the Lord in the priest's laryngitis. How is it made perfect? By completing its work in us, the work of delivering us from the passions, destroying our death, and raising us up, clothed in the robe of his holy resurrection and in our right mind. This then is our work. It's not to fight the demons. Our work simply is to draw near to the Savior and to fall down before him every day, every hour, every moment of our life, that he may not only shine on us from outside of us, but illumine us and transform us from within. Glory to Jesus Christ. Most holy Theotokos service. Amen.